May it please court, Judge. My name is Jim Ball. I represent the appellant, Mr. Huazo. May I have 8 minutes in my direct, and if I can at least preserve 2 minutes for rebuttal?
Just watch the clock, counsel.
Okay, sure. Great. Thank you very much, Your Honor. The issue in this case, as I perceive it, is that the district court erred when approximating the drug quantity in regards to Mr. Huazo. The issue directly centers around the pretrial statements dealing with Ms. Islas, where she approximated that Mr. Huazo delivered approximately 12.7 kilograms of methamphetamine into the state of Idaho. And I think this whole issue centers around those pretrial statements. The district judge, Judge Smith, who was not the trial judge during the case, essentially at the sentencing hearing, made the statement that she testified to approximately 12.7 kilograms, which is what the government at the time suggested. Just so the court has, in my excerpts of record, under, I believe it is 317, line 9, the court says that Islas, she testified as to other quantities and the defendant delivered prior to controlled by. Unfortunately, she never did testify to that, and that's the whole issue. What she testified to at the trial had to center around that she saw no drugs being delivered. I have excerpts of record 175, line 6, question, what did the meth look like? Line 7, answer, I only saw the amounts that would go into the pipe itself. As far as anything else, I do not know. Excerpts of record 175, line 20, did you ever see the drugs that you delivered? Answer, no, sir. Question, why not? Answer, I wouldn't be able to say. She goes on to testify, excerpts of record 176, line 20, how did you know there were drugs in there? She was referring to the backpack that was found October 30th. Answer, line 21, I didn't know that they were actually drugs because I never actually saw it. Excerpts of record 186, line 5.
She was in this whole procession. She knew very well. I mean, we can chip at it. But yeah, they were making trips from Salinas on different occasions with a bag full of something to deliver to this guy, and the people who are getting it think they're getting drugs, and they're doing all these fancy things in the car, one car, another car. She's not in the car with the drug she is. She gets there and she delivers it. Okay. It's a little bit hard to say you can't have an inference. So what they were doing was, guess what? Delivering drugs, particularly at the preponderance of the evidence level. Now, she also made statements before trial indicating how much she took each time. I didn't notice anything in the sentencing transcript that indicated her credibility regarding the amount of drug that she said she was delivering. I saw all kinds of things like, oh gosh, this is really too high, too much. You really shouldn't give this guy such a big sentence, or you really should pay attention to the buyer said. I didn't see anything saying, you know, she's not really credible. And here's why she's not credible, Judge. I didn't see that. What do you do with that?
What was interesting because those statements were made in what we call a debriefing, essentially the pretrial statements to the investigators. And when it came to trial, she testified. She essentially didn't have any testimony whatsoever of any quantity of drugs whatsoever.
I know.
And so.
Ergo, she's not reliable when she said the quantities. But you never told the sentencing judges never told that.
Correct.
Now, you quoted the court. The court does say she testified as to other quantities, but he picked out the 16.69, and, you know, that's based on what the four trips that she originally talked about in the pretrial debriefing.
Correct.
That's what the judge seems to have gone on. He took what she said, and then there's another person whose name just escaped me. Anyway, there's another fellow that got cited who corroborates the number of trips, so that there is some corroboration. Going along with what Judge Fernandez just said, is I was troubled by the fact that you're seizing upon the court's use of the word testify. There's nothing in the sentencing proceeding to say, oh, no, Judge, she didn't testify to that, and to sort of flush out the problem that you're now telling us we should hang it on the district court's use of the word testify, when you can look at the record and see that there was enough information from Eastless, corroborated by another witness, the bookkeeper person, and it's a little tough to now fault the district court for the calculation it made. How do you address that?
Well, I would think the trial counsel at the time essentially filed a motion objecting to any amounts, I guess, in addition, that were foreseeable. They made a motion, and they were essentially asking that the district court use the quantity of the drugs that were found at the time of the arrest, which I believe were the October 30th, 2007 arrest. And I think they made that motion at the district court level. I agree with the court. It wasn't really flushed out. It seems like
Thiel is the name I was looking for.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, in regards to her testimony, which was interesting, what I found in excerpts of record 136, that when she testified that she saw 2 pounds when she was initially involved, and that's excerpts of record 136, and then she testified to a 7 pound, which was an excerpt of record 143, and so calculating in that out, that's only 9 pounds that she ever witnessed. And so we have Ms. Isles, who said there was 28 pounds, and she corroborated only 7.
Didn't Eastless tell investigators that she assisted the defendant in delivering at least 4 pounds of meth approximately 7 times during the year that she worked for him? That's 28 pounds equal to about 12.7 kilos?
Correct.
Now, are you saying that that has to be excluded somehow? We can't take that into – that the sentencing judge cannot take that into account?
I think they can take it into account, but the judge has to find out if that testimony is reliable.
But there is no attack on her reliability, is there, in the record?
Well, I think there's attack on her reliability in the record in regards to the trial, where she testified that a lot of times she was on methamphetamine. She even testified that she was only the tester. She was only involved because she tested the methamphetamine, so when they got it, she would snort it or smoke – actually, she would smoke it just to make sure it was the right kind of stuff.
But wait a minute now. Again, I'm troubled because I've got your brief here. I've got your – got what was by your predecessor trial counsel. The trial counsel is in a dialogue here with the court in some respects at 317 that you cite, and Gulfstrom the – defense counsel?
That's correct.
Okay, and he says, and that conclusion would be based on Judith Eastless, right, as credible, and also cooperating witnesses, co-defendants, everybody involved. Now, you're saying, well, what the judge failed to do then was to explain why he found her credible when there was no argument presented?
Yeah, my understanding of the rule is, at least of the case law, is the judge still has to determine whether or not drug quantity would be reliable based upon Kilby, that even though it may be foreseeable, is that
testimony. Yeah, he said, I've gone through this. I'm trying to rule in your client's favor. I'm looking and I'm going below what the government's trying to get to. Mm-hmm. And I've got these objective, if you will, quantitative markers that, as Judge O'Scanlan just noted, you take the math, you do the math. And you've got Thiel, who says she delivered 30 pounds. So I'm just having trouble coming after the fact and suggesting why the district court flunked the test here.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm going to submit that it's very confusing the way this whole thing turned out. And regarding to the 30 pounds, mm-hmm. that whole 30 pounds was not my client's distribution. Remember, there was another person involved, Mr. Santoyo. They talked about rock, cocaine versus re-rock versus shards, and some of that 30 pounds had to do with the shards. So not all that 30 pounds would substantiate Ms. Islas's testimony. And I see my time's unfortunately out of time.
Thank you, counsel. Your time has expired. We'll hear from the government.
May it please the court.
May it proceed, counsel.
My name is Christian Afsker. I'm appearing for the government. I am here in trial counsel's absence, who's currently involved in another trial. Obviously, you spent the majority of the time talking about the second issue, and that's whether the drug calculation of the base offense level of 38 is appropriate. I think when Your Honor is focused on the sentencing judge's statements on excerpts of Record 317, it would be improper to see if the trial court was basing the base offense level solely on one person. And I think it's clear from the record that Judge Smith was attempting to look at the testimony as well as the pretrial statements of all the members involved. Specifically, in addition to stating that he believed Judas Islas was credible, he referred to that he also considered the cooperating witnesses, the co-defendant, and everyone involved. Obviously, there is a lot of varying quantities depending on who you talk to and when you talk to them. Santoyo originally and the PSR adopted 90 pounds that should be held accountable for the defendant. He then obviously changed that at trial and was somewhere around 12 pounds. Judith was didn't testify about the prior transactions during the trial, but she obviously pretrial talked about the seven occurrences where she trafficked at least 4 pounds on the defendant's behalf. And so you also have Nikki Thiel, who talks about 4 to 10 pounds. And it's important to note that Nikki Thiel was only involved in the conspiracy for a short period of time. And so her weight, I believe she put approximately 30 pounds from the defendant. But she also talked about how Todd, her boyfriend, owed $81,000 to the defendant for past meth. You know, and at $16,000 a pound, you know, that's 5 pounds just there for approximately a third of this conspiracy. And so I believe the trial court adequately stated its reasons, and as you stated, there was no dispute as to Judith, and so they erred on the side of caution. There was no discussion as to the first point. Does any of your honors have any questions as to the defendant's sufficiency of the evidence argument on the 924C?
I guess not, counsel.
Okay.
Anything further?
No, thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case just argued will be submitted for decision.